Nothing stands still in the car business. We're constantly seeing changes in inventory, incentives, sales, service, and all other areas of the dealership. If you're looking to break through the noise and find insights from real dealers, automotive influencers, and leaders in sectors like technology and marketing, then shift into high gear with the Walk Around podcast, powered by JM&A Group, a leader in F&I solutions, dealership training, and insurance services for dealers nationwide.
Want to dive deeper into the topics you hear about on Daily Drive? We're offering listeners a special offer, 20% off a one-year Automotive News digital subscription. That gets you access to all of our news, information, and analysis made for automotive industry leaders like you. Go to autonews.com/dailydrivepromo to redeem. Welcome to this Weekend Drive edition of Daily Drive for the first week in May 2024. I'm Jamie Butters, Executive Editor of Automotive News in Detroit.
And I'm Kellen Walker in Las Vegas. Today we're breaking down some of the biggest stories in the auto industry from the past week and looking forward to what's in store in the days ahead. Today on the show, we'll talk about the state of hybrid sales and what they say about the trajectory of the industry.
Right now, you know, they're taking large losses on EVs, but the hybrid story, at least to investors, is a little easier for automakers to tell.
Our own Amari Gardner joins us in a few minutes. But first, Jamie, how you doing?
All right, Kel, how about you?
I'm doing great. Let's get into some news. So this week, we reported that Genesis is growing more independent from Hyundai. Now, the brand is continuing to grow. Do you see Genesis becoming as big and independent as Ram did for Dodge?
That's a big ask.
Yeah, right.
Ram has become such a powerhouse for Stellantis and you know, its predecessor, Fiat Chrysler and all that Chrysler group. And also they're in different segments, right? I mean, Genesis has been growing pretty steadily, but you know, what were they? I think 69,000 sales last year in the US. So that's like a fifth of the size of BMW in this market. So they've got a long way to go to get really competitive. But, you know, it's getting healthy. They keep coming out with new products, really trying to build up the brand, make it something really attractive and still a good value in its segment.
Gotcha. I don't see anything but Genesis growing. I mean, Hyundai Group, I've been so impressed by them. And I tell you this all the time, how we remember the Hyundais of the early 2000s and late 90s, and then just what they've become now. It's just, I don't see them failing, I guess is what I'm getting at.
It is so amazing, the transformation of that brand, Hyundai and Kia, and now the invention of Genesis. Really just remarkable.
Absolutely. And also, Jamie, Chinese automaker BYD's first quarter revenue missed analyst estimates. That's due to aggressive price cuts across most of its lineup, but they are still selling cars and their net income rose 11% year over year. Now, Jamie, should we be rattled that BYD's most popular EV starts at less than $10,000? Are we just buying time until BYD arrives in the US market?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it seems, you know, actually BYD is in the US. They supply some buses out in LA, out in California. So they're here a little bit. But in the consumer vehicle space, you know, it would seem that they're going to come sooner or later. You know, it's complicated, obviously, a lot of political considerations, tariffs, big tariffs that are out there right now, but also tariff threats. So not an easy path, but it would seem like something that would happen eventually. And yeah, you're absolutely right. The fact that the cost advantage that the Chinese automakers, especially one as vertically integrated as BYD, have, their ability to offer low cost, you know, pretty attractive EVs is a serious competitive threat. You know, whether you're, you know, Tesla or Ford or Toyota or GM, you know, it's they're seriously strong competitor. Maybe their products aren't the right fit for the US market, but chances are, you know, they'll figure out what it's going to take and try to deliver it.
I mean, if you think about it, after like tariffs, and this is just an estimate now, but after tariffs and shipping, you bring that to the United States, that might be what, a $17,000 car, $18,000 car, and it'll still be more affordable than anything else that's on the market right now currently.
Yeah, you know, and then that would be really compelling, a sub $20,000 EV, you know, if it has some decent range, if the charging is available in the right ways. But yeah, could make a real dent, definitely puts a lot of pressure on the market.
And on the other end of the EV spectrum, Cadillac leaders are suggesting the brand could keep its gasoline-powered lineup beyond its 2030 target of going all electric. Now, with EV adoption slowing down, do you think we'll see more automakers back off that pledge to have full electric lineups?
You know, GM has been a trailblazer in walking back its proclamations of an all EV future. You know, right away, it came out initially, you know, zero emissions by 2035. And then it was like, well, if the consumer wants to go there with us, right? If they're done buying gasoline powered Silverados and all that. So then they were like, okay, but 2030 for Cadillac, Buick. Now, you know, Cadillac's like, maybe we still need some gas-powered Escalades beyond 2030. So definitely, you know, heavy with the asterisk. And the suspicion is there will be other brands that might hedge back or, you know, not hit all of their targets, but try to give consumers at least a choice. That's definitely what GM is touting. I think they call it the luxury of choice. So that's the spin, and they may not be alone in not being able to meet all of their most idealistic targets announced during the, you know, bubbliest time for EVs.
Right. Well, next we're going to talk about the in-between, Jamie, because coming up, hybrid sales are surging. What does that mean for the industry's larger electrification plans? That's next on Weekend Drive.
If you work in automotive, there's one thing that's always true. Your time is money. Staying up to date with what's trending may seem overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. I'm Mark Spoto, one of the hosts of the Walk Around podcast, powered by JM&A Group. We talk to leaders who are transforming the automotive landscape today, and your time will be well spent learning something new with every episode. Our third season launches this May with even more automotive voices you don't want to miss. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Even Alexa. Just say, "Hey Alexa, play the Walk Around podcast." New episodes are coming soon.
Welcome back to Weekend Drive. I'm Jamie Butters with Kellen Walker. We've seen the trajectory of the industry's electrification goals shift a bit early on here in 2024. Automakers are seeing a surge in demand for hybrids to the delight of companies such as Toyota, which saw sales jump in the first quarter and again in April. On Thursday, we spoke with Bosch's Paul Thomas on the show about how those trends are affecting suppliers, but what does the medium-term and long-term picture look like for the industry? To help parse that out, we have Automotive News Director of Content and Commentary, Omari Gardner, here with us. Omari Gardner, welcome to Weekend Drive.
Thanks for having me on.
You know, Kel and I were just talking a little bit ago about Cadillac's hedging a bit on their deadline for converting to an all-electric future. And, you know, what is really coincided with this is, of course, GM working to bring back plug-in hybrids, a technology they were, you know, really leaders on for a while and then walked away from. There's a lot of speculation about what kind of vehicles they might bring that technology back on. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, of course, GM, just like everybody else, is facing the market realities. They're probably moving. The market is moving a lot slower than probably the automakers had hoped. Certainly fast, not as slow as or slower than governments had hoped, you know, including California, New York, those they're pressuring the automakers to go all electric, but they also have to deal with the market realities of now. And I think, you know, going forward, if they want to really hit that sweet spot, I think they're going to have to, of course, crossovers, you know, and particularly the midsize and compact segments, because those are, you know, the gasoline counterparts are selling really well. And they have to make them affordable. And even with the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, the costs are, you know, for midsize crossovers still fairly high. So they're going to have to, you know, keep on working to achieve that that sweet spot in the market.
Yeah, you can't go wrong selling into the most popular segments. But also along those lines, that's kind of why, I mean, I think they might really lean into pickups and full-size SUVs, which we know can be a real struggle for battery power. We had Paul Thomas on earlier this week. You had his guest column on our editorial pages, on our guest column page, you know, because he really feels like, especially when it's for work, but even a lot of people who don't need them for work, they're hauling, you know, a horse or a camper or something. So, you know, just to have the power, have the horsepower when you need it to carry a heavy load, to maintain your range, could be a really good solution there. I could see plug-in hybrids in that segment for sure, especially because when you try to do it just with batteries, you try to have enough battery to, you know, carry a heavy load, carry it a decent distance, you end up adding more battery that you have to carry around. And so you need more battery to carry around the extra battery. It just like snowballs and gets really expensive.
Yeah. And presumably, you know, if it's a work truck, it's going to be working. You know, you don't want your truck to be out of commission while it's charging, but you still want to save on fuel. And you know, if you have a heavily laden vehicle and you're towing something or you're hauling something, that's going to sap battery power pretty quickly. So hybrids may be, at least as the technology is today, an ideal solution for those businesses.
Yeah. And, you know, for consumers, I think, you know, plug-in hybrids are a really interesting solution. I know people here in Metro Detroit who've had them, and you know they get like hundreds, if not 1,000 miles to the gallon because they just drive it around town. They plug it in all the time, but it gives them the comfort of knowing they can up and drive to Chicago or Atlanta if that's what they want to do. But regular hybrids are really doing well in the market these days too. You know, gas prices are a little high and people are looking for ways to save, but maybe without the full commitment to an EV or even a plug-in hybrid.
Right. And, you know, Toyota, as we well know, has been steadfast in its hybrid strategy. And so far, it's been hard to prove them wrong. But, you know, there are a lot of hybrids on the market from most automakers. And, you know, now I don't want to say they've reversed course, but they've taken a detour on their strategy toward EVs. And they're seeing that, you know, more people are more interested in hybrids. You know, one of the things that you can do with a hybrid is, you know, the home charging is always a dilemma, at least as the technology stands right now. You know, you can plug a hybrid into a standard, you know, outlet as opposed to having a level two charger, which depending on how your house was built, when it was built, you know, it's kind of expensive to install a level two charger, but you probably, in all likelihood, already have a standard plug in your garage. You can just plug it in and it doesn't need to charge 200 miles. 300 miles, it charges 40, and you can do that in your garage.
You're right. A plug-in hybrid works really well for people, even if they don't get the heavy-duty charger. And, you know, regular hybrids are selling really well. Toyota had a big month. You mentioned earlier, you know, sort of more emphasis. You know, a lot of consumers like hybrids and plug-in hybrids for the benefits they give. It seems like, you know, investors have suddenly grown wary of EVs. I think maybe Ford's decision to break out its Model E's, you know, bottom line has scared off some investors. They're so worried about EVs. I thought it was funny, you know, Ford's April release, Ford sales were down a little, but, you know, you always want to talk about the good news. And they led with the fact that their hybrid sales jumped 60% in April, led by the Maverick compact pickup and the F-150 Power Boost hybrid. And that's good growth, but their EV sales more than doubled. They jumped 129%. If it had been last year when investors were still gaga for EVs, they certainly would have led with that instead of the hybrid sales jump. But this is the world we're living in. Everybody's a little bit wary on the EV thing in the short term.
Yeah. And, you know, even when the EVs are selling, you know, they've cut prices, you know, they're piling up incentives. You know, right now, you know, they're taking large losses on EVs and they're not alone. They're not by themselves. So this isn't a pick on Ford, you know, but the hybrid story, at least to investors, is a little easier for automakers to tell to their investors.
Yeah, you're right. It's not just Ford and it's not just the U.S. Our colleagues in Europe were saying in a meeting this week, and, you know, hey, you can find it on europe.autonews.com, right? Sales fell for EVs by 11%, for gasoline and diesel-powered cars, but plug-in hybrids ticked up 0.7%. Even in a month that was really down overall, the hybrids gained ground in Europe. So that's an interesting development. You know, of course, as an editorial board, we discuss this. We discuss it almost every week, like, where do things stand? And, you know, I think we really decide we respect, you know, the effort to reduce, you know, losses on EVs. But we really wanted to caution automakers not to, you know, stomp on the brakes, just tap them.
Yeah, well, the EV market, again, is challenging. But, you know, the products that we're seeing coming from the automakers that sell in the U.S. are still pretty good. I just drove the Acura ZDX, which I believe is being co-developed with GM. And it's a pretty, you know, solid product. And, you know, the automakers who are selling here, you know, they're making their slow progress. But, you know, there is the pressure coming from China. China has, you know, many, many automakers, many that are getting into EVs. The government is compelling the automakers to get into EVs through mandates and incentives. And, you know, we saw at the recent Beijing Auto Show, boy, there is a heck of a lot of product coming in for the Chinese market, not from Chinese automakers, but from, you know, the Volkswagens and other automakers who sell vehicles in the U.S. And eventually, you know, you have to wonder, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when the Chinese brands make their way into the United States.
Yeah, they've got a huge head start, kind of like Tesla, but with maybe even more, if it's possible, even more government support behind them. Yeah. And yeah, they're going to have to compete with them, you know, in the long run for sure, maybe even in the medium run. So they can't get too far behind. They have an opportunity to, you know, be fast followers, learn from what Tesla's done with gigacasting and battery tech, learn from what the Chinese have done. But as you know, we've got to build up this North American, you know, supply chain with mining and refining and all that. It is going to take some time, but by the time the, you know, the charging network and the supply chain gets built up, they're going to need competitive vehicles as well. So hopefully they're not taking their eye off the ball. I think that's what we're really hearing from Ford, going back to Ford again, you know, is de-emphasizing the large vehicles that maybe a couple of years ago it looked like there was unlimited demand for, and trying to focus more on smaller, more affordable vehicles, something Ford Escape size, you know, that would be, like you said, that compact crossover right in the heart of the segment. If they can do something affordable and profitable in that kind of a segment, that could really change the shape of the industry.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, this market is just starved for affordable vehicles, IC or EV. And if, you know, a couple of things need to happen. First of all, the Chinese automakers would actually have to get the right to sell vehicles in the U.S. But if they do, and in North America also, if they do, and they manage to sell these vehicles at a price point where they're still profitable, right now in China, you know, the median price vehicle is less than it is in the United States. You know, vehicle affordability is a real issue. And eventually people are going to make a decision with their wallets. And, you know, even though there are negative sentiments about China right now, you know, history has shown that, you know, this is an understatement, an enormous conflict with Japan. We had an enormous conflict with Korea. And yet they are two of the largest automakers in the world and in this market.
As countries, but specifically Toyota, obviously, is the world's largest automaker, huge presence here. Hyundai is growing fast. The Hyundai Group is now, I think, fourth largest in the world, and investing heavily in the U.S. through the Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis brands. Yeah, things change. Look, Vietnam. I mean, we now have a Vietnamese automaker in the U.S. market, sort of, you know, only barely, but they're trying, you know, building a plant and all this. Things that can seem unthinkable in one generation can become commonplace in the next.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been unthinkable, you know, decades ago, but the world has changed, like you said.
Yeah. Well, we know you're going to keep on top of all these trends in our news pages and our opinion pages. Appreciate all the work you do. Omari Gardner is Automotive News Director of Content and Commentary. Omari, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for this weekend drive edition of Daily Drive. I'm Jamie Butters.
And I'm Kellen Walker. Thanks to Automotive News executive producer Jake Neer for his help on today's podcast. You can get the latest news on electrification, sales results, and everything happening in the auto industry at autonews.com.
We'd love to hear from you. Let us know what you think of the show and the topics we covered today. Send us an email at dailydrive@autonews.com or leave us a voicemail at 313-444-2774. If you enjoy the podcast, remember to like, leave a review, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.